Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trouble. Thank you, Dave. Will you accept the results of the 2020 election regardless of who wins? That is our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. 100% are saying yes, but the texts that have come in so far, of course we will. When Trump wins, sure I'll accept the results. If when Trump wins, LOL. Of course we accept the results. Dems wouldn't cheat. Wink, wink. So I think if the Russians' idea was to sow discord, to further separate us and have us doubt that the results of the election are valid, they don't have to actually interfere. You know, Julian Sanchez, we welcome in you in, sir, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
It would seem as though Putin has his hands all over this, and I equate Putin to an elf on a shelf. He's all over, and he's constantly causing mischief.
I suppose it works. It certainly it's clear from testimony at hearings earlier this week that at the very least, disinformation operations continuing, so we should expect to see a lot of the same kind of social media shenanigans in 2020 that we saw in 2016.
We are so divided as a country. Again, my fear is that whomever wins in 2020, and I'm not sure that's going to make a hell of a difference in our lives either way, because sometimes I think we tend to put too much emphasis on the presidential election. But whomever wins, that the other side is not going to accept the results. And if they don't, then we're going to be drawn down an impeachment hole again from the beginning. Is this some thin ice to be treading on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is part of the goal. In the long run, you know, the foreign states that seek to interfere may have a preference as to one candidate or another. Last time, it seems like they did fairly clearly attempt to hamper the campaign of Hillary Clinton and bolster Mr. Trump. But secondarily, they're pretty happy if we are divided and less effective and less able to sort of exert power on the world stage. And so whether or not they're able to change the outcome of an election, if they create the sense that the results are illegitimate, that democracy is not reliable, that goal is achieved as well, both in terms of weakening the United States, but also in terms of weakening criticisms of Russia itself for being undemocratic in various ways. A part of their sort of long-running strategy in a lot of ways is a sort of it's a kind of international whataboutism. Right? What they want to be able to say is whenever they're criticized for cracking down on dissent or surveilling their population or not having truly free and fair elections, they can say, well, you know, who are you to talk? Look at how little trust there is in the sanctity of your electoral process.
When you say that, it's interesting because I wonder, do they really have a candidate in choice, or will there be fake social media postings, et cetera, in terms of Russian meddling, where they just want to cast doubt on the process? Again, they want to be the Putin on the shelf that causes all of this misinformation and the distrust. And, I mean, do they necessarily have a horse in the race?
Well, you know, I think it's both. They are happy if they sow chaos. I think in 2016, there is a pretty broad consensus across the intelligence community that was confirmed in a report that came out earlier this month that the Senate Intelligence Committee issued. So this was the Republican majority sort of acknowledging that at least in 2016, they did indeed have a preference, and it was for Trump. Did that have to do with them especially liking Trump, or more to do with a kind of grudge against Hillary Clinton? That's sort of another question. It seems as though Clinton's sort of criticisms of Russia and their electoral process are part of what motivated them to to intervene with a preference against her. But if you look at internal sort of Russian communications that are cited in the Mueller report and earlier indictments of the GRU officers who engaged in electoral interference, you see them talking about, what our orders are, to especially tear down Clinton and actually attack everyone, but not Trump and Sanders.
Some of the texts that are coming in here, and I'll ask you to respond to these when we come back. And it goes to show, I guess, the divide. One says the disinformation campaign is coming straight from Trump and his mindless supporters. He's a liar, always has been, always will be. Yet people believe any word that spews from his mouth, even after being fact-checked. But there is another text that comes in and says basically that it's not the Democrat, it's not the I want to find the exact text if I can, because it says basically that Dems cheat and you won't recognize it. The fact that you blame Putin means you believe your audience is stupid. And I find that interesting, because to me, that's saying that you trust Vladimir Putin more than you do Americans that are in a different party than you. And we'll address all of that when we come back. Julian Sanchez, our guest, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Are you willing to, and do you promise to accept the results of the election in 2020, whether your person wins or not? As it stands now, those that have logged on, 82% are saying yes. But I wonder if that's because you think your candidate's going to win. We'll be back, WWL. 9:22 now, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, will you accept the results of the 2020 election regardless of who wins? 65% are saying yes, but to me an alarming 35% are saying no. And what disturbs me even more, Julian Sanchez, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, is that there are people that actually trust Putin more than they trust the Democrats. Now, I never, ever thought that I would hear any American say, oh, yeah, I trust Putin and the Russians. I don't know how that happened. Do you understand where that happened, where that came from?
Partisanship is a hell of a drug. And, in a lot of ways, I think, politics ends up being about, picking someone to dislike. In a sense, I think this is maybe it is something people say as a kind of expression of affinity, maybe not because, they're thinking about it and giving a kind of serious reflective answer. I think it's just a way of saying I dislike Democrats so much. That I'm going to say this as a way of expressing that. I hope that's the case, at least.
Like emotional intelligence, not much, where it's more of a emotion than a logical thing.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things people say that are more, I could kill that guy. You don't mean that. You're expressing something emotional.
I hope you're right. But for those 35% that are saying no, they will not accept the results, what does that portend for 2020 and 2021, et cetera, for us as Americans here in a country where, I understand what happened in 2000 with George Bush and Al Gore. We didn't have a president until when? December. People were not happy about the Supreme Court decision. Al Gore accepted it. The country moved on. There were no tanks in the street. If the same thing were to happen today in terms of an election being tied for whatever reason, or it would go into December, do you think people would be as calm as they were back then, or would they be more out in the streets clamoring this side stealing it or that side stealing it?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know. We do seem to be less willing than a lot of the rest of the world to actually get out in the streets and engage in that kind of mass protest, at least over sort of federal and national level political issues. But I think there's a real question. And I think there's a real question in part because it's a lot less clear what the reaction of the political system would be. As you say, the Supreme Court essentially issued a decision after there was controversy about votes in Florida in 2000. But institutionally, sort of everyone concerned said, okay, well, we accept that result. I think it's very plausible that if there were questions about see the integrity of the vote, if there were signs of some kind of electoral interference from abroad, you might see one side or the other not taking that posture and saying, and, you know, maybe reasonably, if in fact there's real evidence of, you know, for example, voters are removed from the rolls, and so people in some states couldn't vote because of some kind of cyber attack. Well, hey, you know, maybe these results aren't legitimate, which again is part of the goal. You know, Russia or China or other powers may have a preference as to who wins, but if the result is, you know, the United States seems to be in chaos, and there's a sense that, well, you know, democracy is this sort of unstable system, that might suit them just as well.
So when it comes to tampering and interfering with the election, now if they hack in any database of voters, if they can somehow, and I know it came up in the hearing yesterday, put out a phony election date, and Zuckerberg said they would take that down immediately on Facebook, or any kind of thing like that, I guess, you know, I get where that's election tampering, but when it comes to bots sending out these racist messages and then people forwarding them to their friends, etc., do you blame the bot or the Russians or whomever is behind it, or do you blame the people for getting their news from Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, you get a sense there's this gradient of forms of interference. There's, you know, on the one hand, the sort of obvious kind of hacking the vote category of stuff, like tampering with election machines, altering voter rolls, maybe even altering a state elections website to give people the wrong polling place or the wrong date and time. I don't know how effective that would be in 2019, trying to tell people the wrong time. I think people would be able to correct that information pretty quickly. But then you have this sort of more nebulous ground. And if you listen to hearings that were held earlier this week, it's something that, you know, clearly the federal authorities working on election security see as the kind of primary attack vector, at least at the moment, which is less, at least at present, direct attacks on election cyber systems and more sort of continuing social media influence operations. And that's a kind of case where, at some level, right, the attack doesn't work unless you are receptive to it, unless you are willing to be influenced that way. And there's also, you know, an area where our ability to respond is to some extent hampered for good reasons by, you know, the First Amendment. So, you know, one of the methods we saw Russia using in 2016 was an attempt to suppress the African-American vote, which trends heavily Democratic. So there would wouldn't be direct ads saying don't vote for, you know, don't vote for the Democrat. There would have votes or ads promoting a sort of organic group. And so people would join this group that would call itself something like, you know, African Americans for, you know, for political action or something. And then the messages shared organically from that group would be, you know, the premise sort of being probably black voters are likely to vote Democratic. Well, don't bother voting, just stay home. The parties are both the same. You know, it's not worth participating in electoral politics. And that's the kind of messaging that's somewhat more difficult for us to combat. You know, you can say, all right, we spotted a cyber attack. We're going to crack down on that. If you're looking at social media and Facebook and saying, well, we're going to crack down on this political message that's being shared, there are obviously, you know, sort of constitutional obstacles to that. And one thing the FBI and other representatives at a hearing on Tuesday this week made clear is when they sort of are trying to police this kind of interference, they start with sort of known bad actors. They try to identify bad actors that they already know about who might be spreading messages. They don't start from the contrary and work back. They don't say this message looks like, you know, the kind of message that we know, you know, Russian bots are sending around. And they do that for absolutely a very good reason. I would be very concerned if the FBI were making judgments based on the content of a political message and saying, we think maybe this is a Russian influence operation. That would be very unhealthy. But realistically, that does to some extent limit the ability to detect this stuff, because it's pretty easy to make it look like you're someone different online.
Confirmation bias echo chamber. I would imagine the big change here is you don't want to learn anything. You want to, and I'm saying the generic you. You know, you want to look for something that confirms your beliefs, whether it's true or not. So you find something, then you have friends that have the same belief system as do you. So you forward this to them, and then before you know it, it's grown exponentially because they're hearing what they want to hear, whether it's Democratic or Republican, and none of it's true.
Yeah, or at least a lot of it's not true. And I think that's the sort of quandary of information overload, right? As it used to be, you know, there were basically, you know, three networks and, you know, one or two major newspapers in every city, because that was about what was economically supportable. And so you might think, oh, the press is biased to the left or the right or whatever. But, you know, people basically had the same base of news information to work from. We have so much information now that you really can tailor your media environment to suit what sort of makes you happy. You're informing yourself based essentially on how pleasant it makes you feel to read the news as opposed to how true it is, because of course you can't sort of independently know how accurate the information is, but it's very easy to tell whether it makes you feel verified and happy about your pre-existing beliefs. And that creates a vulnerability.
Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story or making yourself feel good. I'm kidding, Julian.
That is our instinct.
It is. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
Julian Sanchez, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. We're going to delve into the mechanics of this when we come back, when we talk to somebody from the...
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.